Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. In the studio with me, Brandon Drake.
Hello.
Good to be back.
Were you gone?
Yeah, were you gone? I don't know what played last week. Did we do a best of?
Oh, that's right.
I don't remember.
I can't keep track of time anymore.
Do you remember what it was, Derek?
Yeah, it was your interview with Horace Sheffield.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got a kind of an email from a gentleman who wasn't particularly happy with the candidate. But it was still a good interview, and I think he believed that, too. Mm. So,
why was he
he was just a more conservative guy who didn't like, you know, a Democrat coming into... Yeah, you know, the building didn't burn down.
Coming into the realm, a Democrat got through the security gate.
Exactly, exactly. Well,
we had a Democrat on the show on The American Dream, Senator Glenn Anderson, talking about the fireworks, so... Yeah, we've had at least two Democrats on now.
Wow, and we're still standing.
We're still standing.
That's amazing. Well, we got a lot to get to today, so let's start out with some business. I'll take care of our sponsor this half hour. It's The Rock Shop on Godfredson Road, 734-455-5560. Have you been to The Rock Shop?
I have not.
If you ever get a chance, you're driving down M14, just pull off at Godfredson Road, and it's just up the road 100 yards or so. Great selection of statuary and rocks and pavers and that kind of stuff. And they have what they call a rock hound room, which has got the cool geodes, the arrowheads, all the stuff that...
What's a geode?
Geode is those rocks they break open and there's crystal in the middle, amethyst and all that kind of stuff.
Is it radioactive?
It could be.
Excellent.
I don't know, but it's a really cool place to take, especially if you got a young kid with you. Kids love to look at that stuff. So they're all geologic oddities.
Now we know where Iran's getting their enriched uranium. The
right
rock
there,
shop.
Yes. So a great place to go in and see. I think statuary might still be 50% off. So give them a holler at 734-455-5560. Or you can go online and check out what they have. www.rock-shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
How many W's?
Com. Three. www. Oh. Who came up with that? Really? I know it's World Wide Web, but it sure is mind-boggling to type that in the first time you find something. Anyways.
I thought it was George W.W. Bush.
You thought it was George Jefferson. Who?
Yeah.
Okay, so before we move on to the juicy meat of the border and Israel.
You went and ate at the border.
You know, today's show should be sponsored by Taco Bell because I had some fabulous food there yesterday.
And we're all fully aware of it.
And you're all enjoying it today. So that's good. I wanted to talk about, there was an article in the Livingston Daily, Press and Argus, this week. And they were chastising. That's not the most conservative of papers up there. So they were kind of chastising Lana Thies and Wendy Day for taking money from Americans for Prosperity. Really? You're going to, you know, and Rich Perlberg, who was the editor of that paper, I don't know, a few years back, is running as a Republican, if you can imagine, in that race up there. And Derek, can you pull that up for me? The race in Brighton, 40, I can't remember what it is. I should have pulled it up ahead of time, but I'm a knucklehead. Anyways, he was complaining that they were getting outside PAC money coming in to help these two ladies in their election. I'm like, really? If you weren't so liberal, you probably wouldn't even need any. I mean, he's got all the – everybody knows his name. He was the editor of the paper, you know. But that paper's always been a little on the liberal side. So why didn't you just run as a Democrat instead of trying to fake people out into running as a conservative? You know, it just boggles my mind that people do that. So I will say – In that race, Lana Thies or Nick Fionti. Anyways,
I'm drawing a blank. Rick Snyder running as a Republican.
Yeah, well, Rhino Rick
faked us all out.
Yeah, he's far better than Jennifer Granholm. You got to take what you can get. You know what I mean? That brings up a point of elections. This year, you're not going to be happy with probably any of them. So you pick the least troublesome, the lesser of whatever evils you have to vote for it. But you have to pick it. Don't not vote because that's just wasting a vote or helping the bad guy if you don't vote.
That's why I'm writing in Lyndon LaRouche.
Really?
Do you know who he is?
Isn't that the guy that sends the people out and they have the picture of Obama in the Zulu outfit? That's not Lyndon LaRouche doing that? With the Glass-Steagall and the whole nine yards?
Yeah, this is a real weirdo from... Yeah, we won't go into him today.
Oh, we're going to have to, though. Now you brought it up. I'm thinking that's the people outside the post office all the time, isn't it? Lyndon LaRouche.
I don't know if they're even really still around anymore. Maybe they're.
I saw him like 6 months ago.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, and they had the crazy Obama poster, you know. One was Hitler and one was dressed up as a Zulu warrior or something like that. It was crazy. And I just, you know, that kind of stuff does not promote people to go your way of thinking, you know. You want to talk about taking it to the edge. That's far and away something we shouldn't. But so that, and I want to encourage people to vote yes on Proposal 1, which is the end of the personal property tax. And I think being an accountant with your background, you recall how unfair that seems to the average owner to be paying personal property tax.
What a joke it really is as far as reporting it, accounting for it.
Yeah.
It's really a joke.
I buy a machine 40 years ago, and you're still going to be jacking me for tax on it every year? That's just it just always struck me as like a very communist thing. I can never own anything outright. I always have to pay tax on it. Oh, that's like our property. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you're always paying rent to the government.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Which, you know what? That makes me think for a minute. If we're really all just renters to the United States government— can we put our taxes into an escrow account instead of paying it to the IRS and claim that they're not taking care of the facilities the way they should be? If we're just renters, I'm just thinking. If I were a lawyer, I'd probably start a lawsuit.
Go ahead and try that.
Yeah, I'd probably end up
see what happens.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Drift with Brandon Drake. Gary Wellings is away on assignment, a 5-year term.
Can I Skype from prison?
You probably could.
It would yes, if I were at Camp Cupcake, yes, I would think so. Well, Derek, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll jump into the meat, which is the Kiev and all the other good stuff. See you on the other side.
Listeners, I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of Art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of art, it's about civilization, yours.
What does good planning bring to business? Real revenue. With vibrant neighborhoods, pedestrian-friendly avenues, and good public transportation, people in a well-planned community come together in ways that support the local economy. That means that stores, restaurants, and services in the area thrive. Good planning brings value to everyone in the community. Learn more at planning.org. That's planning.org. A message from this station and the American Planning Association.
What's your favorite color? Tell us, please.
Kids will spend 20 minutes listening to songs like this.
What's your favorite color? What's your...
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes twice a day. They have the time. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck for Dave 2037 so he can buy anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. What are you getting Steve 2037?
Steve 2037 will be just fine.
Okay, but don't expect to borrow my anti-gravity boots.
Save something for the future. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Join us every Sunday morning for Wham! Weekend Worship. At 9 a.m., it's the Lutheran Hour Radio Show, followed at 9:30 by the Christian Science Sentinel Program. At 10, we join Bethlehem United Church of Christ. And finally, from 11 a.m. till noon, it's the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor. Every Sunday morning, Wham! Offers an opportunity for you to worship wherever you are. And please visit whamradio.com and click on any of the church programs to visit their websites and to find out more about their live services.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of The Drift. In studio with me, Brandon Drake and Derek Stone doing the production over there across the glass. Hi, Derek.
Hey, Gary.
And there you go.
How was the vacation, by the way?
Very nice. My wife took me to St. Ignace, Mackinac Island, the Pictured Rocks. I did all those things that as a Michigander I never did and probably should have done a long time ago. And beautiful. I would tell people, go see Pictured Rocks. It's an awesome little side trip to make. And, of course, go to the casinos up there. And Mackinac Island is really cool. I want to go back.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was very nice. Very nice. So nice to have a weekend off and not really do much. I mean, still have to do the website. But, hey, I've made this bed. I now have to lie in it, right? Unfortunately, every Saturday it's with you. No, I don't mean that in a bad way. All right. So we talked about it's Lana Tice. Lana Tice is the candidate for the 42nd. I did have that right. See, my memory's sporadically good. And she's running in the 42nd. So as opposed to Rich Proberg, yes, absolutely. Vote for Lana. Give her a holler or look her up on the web.
She's running in the 42nd. 8-1?
I don't know. I don't know what the odds are.
Sounds like a horse race, yeah.
You know, like a lot of Republicans, you know, they need to get their name out there and work at it. You know, as conservatives, we're not always the best at marketing ourselves. And so you got to plug it along, you know. They need help. Ask for it and get out there and do what you got
to
do.
Yeah, I think you're right. It does seem to be the case in general that Republicans don't market themselves very well.
Yeah.
They don't take advantage of the opportunities provided to them when their Democratic opponent makes gaffes and says things, and they don't use those words against them like the Democrats do against Republicans, it seems, in general.
Yeah. Oh, the GOP certainly needs a much stronger. I don't know who they're hiring, what cretins they're. I know it's cretin. I like to say cretin because it sounds better.
I always said cretin.
Yeah, it's actually cretin, I think, but I like cretin. It sounds better, doesn't it? I think we've talked about this before on the show, maybe a year ago or something. But so let's talk about the downing of the airliner, because not that we haven't seen enough of it. Two more Ukrainian jets, fighter jets, this time came down this week, which was news. And, of course, I put all this on the Daily Drift. So if you're not going to the Daily Drift, www.thedailydrift.com, you're not going to know what we're talking about on the show most times. Not that you can't call into us, 734-822-1600, and bring up anything you want to discuss, but the stories on the Daily Drift are stories I grab out of the internet that you're not getting in mainstream media. So, or you can email me, gary@thedailydrift.com. But I put that story about the Malaysian airliner up there, and then the Examiner, the Washington Examiner, is saying why the airline crash was not the game changer we all thought it was going to be. You know, the conspiracy theories are all out there as well, and maybe they're true. That it wasn't the Russians who shot it down, that it was the Ukrainians who shot it down to get sympathy and all that kind of stuff. Anything's possible at this point.
Let me ask you, let's back up. Let's say you're a Dutch HIV representative, AIDS, flying to Australia, right?
Okay.
And you're booking your flight out of Amsterdam, and you're thinking, now what's the flight path? Well, we're going to take a nice casually cruising, you know, altitude of 35,000 feet over Ukraine and Russia. I think I'll reschedule that flight. I mean, before the crash, wouldn't you think that flying over that part of the world, even though the airline needs to do that to save money on jet fuel and maintenance costs because it's the most direct path, apparently.
Right. And
I'd say, are you kidding me?
Yeah, and this is where people are now beginning to question, because Ukrainian security forces have not released the flight tower tapes to the plane. So we don't know who gave them the order to go over restricted airspace. All the other flights of that same plane were rerouted around. They took the longer way around. So why did this one make that change? Somebody told them to go closer to the zone. Who said that? Who made that decision?
The global elite.
Bilderbergs. I mean, here's for me. I don't have any doubt that it was the pro-Russian separatists who shot it down, probably by accident. Okay? My question is, that being the case, what was the plane doing there to begin with? And now it looks like, again, this is kind of theory, there is some speculation and some proof even that the plane was shadowed by two Ukrainian fighter jets. Now, did the fighter jets shoot it down, or were they maybe shadowing it to make it look like a high-profile Ukrainian target? I don't know. It's just odd. Release the tapes is what I would tell the Ukrainian government. If you don't want this kind of conspiracy talk out there, release those flight tower recording tapes so that we know who made the decision to have that flight go over that airspace. You know? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, put it all out there.
Put it all, anytime someone doesn't put it all out there, I would say, you know, there was a bunch of stuff, you know, we saw the YouTube video on the news even of the truck missing two SAM missiles driving through a town, and they said, oh, look, this is leaving the area. Come to find out that was in Ukrainian territory anyway, that had nothing to do with the shots in that area. So there's a lot of misinformation out there.
Well, isn't it the case that the NSA pretty much confirmed that the shots came from rebel-held territory in Ukraine, and that the only way they could get this type of munition, this radar-controlled missile system, is from Russia?
Yeah. I don't have any doubt that it was a Russian system. I don't have any doubt that it was the pro-Russian separatists who shot it. Did they have help? I would assume if they weren't trained properly, they might have had a Russian advisor or a Russian-trained advisor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if it's an accident, you know, I would think the Russians should just say, you know, yeah, this was a real bummer of an accident. This was terrible.
Yeah, but see, that's not Putin's style. Putin's style is deny, go ahead and prove it, and screw you anyway.
Could be.
I mean, that's the implied message from him the time. Turn it around and just give the world the finger, and he doesn't care. He's going to get away with it. He's got, what, 30,000 nuclear warheads?
Yeah, and he's got 80% backing of his people because his media backs him, unlike... Well, I guess it's the same here. Our media backs Barack Obama the same way.
And his people, anytime he blames the West for things, his people eat that up and just love it.
Well, sure they do.
Besides vodka, that's their other drug of choice.
Yeah, they don't have free press, so they're going to get whatever he feeds them.
Yeah, but I think they really like hearing their leader bash the West. It can be the most preposterous made-up thing, and they all just go for it.
It's because they love their country. You know, how much of our country actually loves our country? You know, you and I, we're patriotic Americans. Every time I say that, when I go to a township board meeting or something, you know, I go to one of these public meetings and we stand up to do the Pledge of Allegiance, I feel it. You know what I mean? I feel that when I say the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't know that a lot of people do. I do.
No, I agree, but I don't know if I equate the two in my mind. I look at the Russian people as it's one thing to love your country, it's another to be a total dumbass and believe everything. No matter how stupid it sounds and it's made up, and that's the reason you have kind of the political system that you do, because you don't, I mean, not every Russian, but it seems like enough of them are too willing to believe in a demagogue like Putin when he's kind of the major cause of the freedoms they've had to lose since Yeltsin came in there. It's like they almost demonstrate that they're not capable of having the degree of freedom that we have here. Need a strong man. They need an sure iron-fisted ruler.
Yeah, because
at the same time.
Yeah, they don't have the experience of freedom that we had. I mean, that's a cultural evolution. You know what I mean? Our country evolved freely, started evolving freely over 200 years ago when we had our Revolutionary War. And having grown up with culture, all the immigrants that came here, they see the freedom that's there. But they were kept down for all those years under the Soviet Republic. And so they're not used to it. They haven't had multi-generations to grow up with freedom to question authority like we have here. I mean, we've maybe taken it to the extremes here where we question authority every day. And to the point now, our kids are giving their own parents the finger because they question authority too much, maybe. But I don't know that the Russian people as a culture have had the time.
But do they want it? Do they want it? Because 200 years ago, we fought and died for independence to demonstrate that we, in fact, have the capability and desire to exercise freedom on the ground from the get-go, and we did. It seems like the Russian people, not only do they enslave themselves, in a sense, but they've enslaved their minorities and other republics. There are, what, 18 republics that made up the Soviet Union.
Yeah, they've never had the
taste. Prior to that, it was all czarist,
When you grow up under a king, you're never going to taste that freedom. They haven't had real freedom. This fresh taste after the walls fell down, but it was just a taste. It's not like...
But we had a taste, and we ran with it. They had a taste. They had the opportunity, and they blew it.
I don't know if it's the same taste. When we came here as 13 colonies... A three-month trip for the king's troops to get here, or 2 months, whatever it takes to sail from England, that was a very big chance at freedom, with an entire continent open to us, other than the American Indians, who were a minor impedance to us. I don't think they've had the same opportunity at freedom that we did as a country wide open with a king 3 months sailing away and his troops. That's a huge, huge difference. I mean, when you moved here to America as a pilgrim, you could do anything
you
want.
Let's put it this way. If you gave them the freedoms that we have right now, they wouldn't be able to handle it.
Because
They would go right back into chaos, killing each other. I have no doubt about it, and I don't think they're ever going to get. You're saying it's like, well, give them the opportunity, and then they would be able to run with it. I'm saying I think any opportunity they're given, based on their mentality, I don't see it.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying they would run with that. I believe that's the problem. They're not going. It's going to take generations, and this is going to be a slow process for them. It's going to be the same slow process in China. Those people are not used to freedom and would probably screw it up if they did. Whereas I think we had a very unique set of circumstances as Americans in the American Revolution to take the bull by the horns and do the right thing, and thank our founding fathers for doing what they did, because they put those, you know, a lot of it was luck too, I'm sure. We could have fallen off the road to righteousness at any time, and I think we're falling off now, unfortunately. But I think we were such a unique time during that American Revolution when we set that I don't think it can be. I don't think the old world, be it France, be it England, be it any of those countries, I don't think they had the opportunity that we had here. And I don't think the Russian people, as a culture, would be able to do what we've
done. Are you saying that if they have the opportunity, that they'll be
all
right?
No, I don't think they do. I think it's going to take...
So what are you saying?
I'm saying it's going to take an evolution in a long period of time for them to realize that Western culture as we have, the freedom to make mistakes, the freedoms to make decisions, they're not going to have that for a long time. I think it will get there. And part of the... I think they'll get there partly because of social media and the internet and everything else. People will slowly become educated and responsible over time. I don't believe that your average American and your average Russian have a whole lot in common, because they're used to being controlled. And so when they get a good nationalistic leader, and to his credit, Putin is a nationalist, he's doing what he thinks is best for his country and himself. You know, whereas we've got a president who's not doing what's best for the country. He may be doing what's best for himself and his ideals. You know, so.
Well, I mean, the examples over, you know, anytime there's a dissident, somebody speaks out, they're usually, you know, even under Putin, they're usually thrown in jail for, income tax evasion or something like that.
Right.
Anytime there's a political. Like you said, you know, Putin has totally crushed all opposition in the media.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that can really. Has a chance of being a leader in the opposition is marginalized and maybe put in jail.
Right.
So,
well, we've got a great.
I don't see it.
Yeah, we've got a great caller coming in on right after the break here. So we'll see you on the other side.
is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Jim Parisi. An Israeli cabinet minister is saying Israel has agreed to extend a 12-hour humanitarian truce in the Gaza war. It'll be extended by 4 hours. The United States Embassy, meanwhile, in Libya shut down. All embassy staffers evacuated this morning, leaving Tripoli and arriving in nearby Tunisia. A State Department spokesperson saying, "We don't make this decision lightly." The Associated Press adding, "The last time this happened was 2011 after the death of longtime Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi." Well, the flood of illegal immigrants into our country showing no signs of abating. The Blaze Radio's Brad James with that.
While the state of Texas takes matters into its own hands regarding the southern border, the federal government is doing very little.
We don't have a border. You know, people talk about we have a crisis at the border. No, we don't have a crisis at all. You only have a crisis at the border if you have a border. We don't have a border. And the reason I say that is because if you don't control who comes in, who comes out, then you really are not a secure country. You're not even a country at that point. And we have so violated our own understanding of what it means to be a sovereign nation. We're not talking here about lacking compassion for children who are escaping a galloping terror. We're talking about a nation that opens itself to the galloping terror of terrorism, drug dealers, rapists, murderers, freely crossing over into our borders.
That's former Republican Governor Mike Huckabee on Fox and Friends. I'm Brad James, The Blaze News.
A big mistake made by a couple of home invaders in Arizona.
If you're going to break into somebody's house, it's probably a good idea to make sure the homeowner is not a former champion of the WWE. Daniel Bryan saw two people leaving his house in Phoenix this week, chasing them down and subduing one of them until police arrived. Bryan says he did not have to use his signature yes lock move to get the would-be crook to cry uncle.
That's the Blaze Radio's Greg Moore reporting. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Get ready for the Dawn Farm 41st Anniversary Jamboree. The Jamboree is a family event with free admission and free activities for all ages, including great live music by a popular local band, hay rides, pony rides, a moon bounce, lots of games, crafts, and much more. There'll be animals to pet and live and silent auctions and a gift table with a variety of donated goods and services, many at bargain prices. Food and beverages will be available. Dawn Farm welcomes you to join them for an exciting, fun-filled day and celebrate the tremendous power of hope, recovery, and community in the lives of individuals, families, and our entire society. Funds raised from the sales and auctions will help provide compassionate, competent, and hope-filled professional care for individuals who need help and lack resources. It'll be Sunday, September 7th from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Dawn Farm, 6633 Stony Creek Road in Ypsilanti. For more information, call 734-485-8725 or visit dawnfarm.org. The Leslie Science and Nature Center is a nonprofit organization that provides environmental education, experiences, and events for children, families, and individuals of all ages. The Leslie Science and Nature Center is located at 1831 Traver Road in Ann Arbor. To learn more about events and classes, call 734-997-1553 or visit lesliesnc.org. Check out the wide variety of educational fun events put on by the Ann Arbor District Library for kids preschool through 12th grade. All library facilities can be reached by phone through the main switchboard at 734-327-4200, or you can visit www.aadl.org. Check it out.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Okay, and welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to catch our drift down here at Wham! Talk 1600. We were talking about the Kiev not releasing the Kiev. Is that like the Ukraine? Yeah. I'm gonna get that guy angry, I can tell you right now. We were talking about, let's run with track one, Derek, just to get people back in afresh on the air traffic control recordings.
Why is Kiev withholding air traffic control recordings that could tell us what happened to Malaysian Airlines Flight 17? A transcript of the final communications between air traffic control and the pilots of Malaysia Airlines Flight MH370, the one that went missing back in March, were released within 3 days of the incident. Yet here we are, nearly a week after the downing of MH17 over Ukraine, and we've received absolutely nothing out of air traffic control. And why is that? Well, it's because, as BBC reported, Ukraine's SBU security service confiscated recordings of conversations between Ukrainian air traffic control officers and the crew of the doomed airliner. The release of these transcripts will help us clear up why, on the day of the shootdown, MH17's flight path went directly over a conflict zone, in contradiction to the previous 10 flight paths of the same aircraft, which avoided the area of eastern Ukraine.
Okay, so there you go.
Hey, Chelsea Manning would have released him to WikiLeaks in a heartbeat.
Yes, exactly. Well, on the horn, we have the great Theron joining us. Theron, welcome to the show.
Hey, Drake. Hey, Drake. How are you guys doing today?
What's going on, man?
Good. I heard you guys talking about the American, if you will, Western civilization / Russian dynamic, and I wanted to share something with you. I see it in a whole new perspective now. I kind of learned something from listening to Dinesh D'Souza a couple days ago. He was talking about how mankind has always hungered for a good king. If you look at all the literature, I mean, from the Bible to Shakespeare to Hans Christian Andersen, all of our fairy tales are always wrestling with trying to get a good king.
Like Elvis?
As opposed to a bad king. So until the forefathers came along, even they wrestled with this. And the only anecdote, if you will, antibiotic they came up with was personal freedom. And it's been that American uniqueness has never, ever been before. So it's no wonder that the Russians can't grasp being free. They're still in that human dynamic of, hey, we need a good king.
Well, and they get what they deserve.
Yeah, well, I think that's exactly right, Theron. I believe people stick with what they know, and I think that's what we were kind of saying too. You're right. This is such a unique thing to be an American and to have started here and to be here. And I think when we get those people coming in from overseas that don't want to do it, they're not blending in. They're just bringing their multiculturalism with them. You know.
Well, it's not just them. The part of what's happening in our country now. If we're seeing the human condition reassert, just go back to its, let's say, default position, and it's almost like you have to teach freedom. If you don't actively teach freedom, this is my take on it after listening to Dinesh D'Souza talk about it, that people will revert back, and that's what's happening right now in our schools. People are learning to love big government, and bureaucracy is a new king. So this is a constant process of making people aware of this. And again, I put it in a whole new perspective. This is actually somewhat new to me. I never really thought of it like that, that we're always looking for, hey, Daddy, tell me what to do. You know, I'm the good king.
Yeah, that does sound like human beings as a rule. We kind of want somebody else to, and that's kind of disappointing to hear, too, but I think it's a fact. I think it's the truth, you know?
Well, that's why
yeah,
I was
and,
saying.
And again, it's not original thought on my part. I picked this up from Dinesh D'Souza. He puts it in beautiful perspective. And again, when you think about it, every school kid learns, well, I don't know if they still teach them or not, but we all learned the fairy tales and the great stories, if you will, and it was always about the good king, the bad king. And once you get a good king, what happens? His son becomes the bad king. So we don't get away from it unless we keep freedom going. Anyway, that's my comment. You guys are doing a great job today. Great show.
Well, thanks, boss. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Take care.
Never let them take you alive. See you. Bye.
I love it when the boss calls. It means somebody's listening.
Somebody's listening, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that kind of – that bums me out a little bit to even think about human beings that way. We're looking to be told what to do. We're subservient creatures.
Yeah, and that's kind of my point with a Russia or a China or Iraq – is that you have a people that just don't have a mindset for personal freedom and mm-hmm. respecting, here's the key, respecting others' freedom,
right.
Where you're not trying to crush the other and take control. So in Russia, there's almost this thuggish mentality that whoever has the most guns and force will dominate the other. And then you get this whole I go back to, I think they're always going to need a strong man because otherwise it's chaos.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm a bit of an optimist. I want to believe that we're all capable at some point. Maybe not all. All right. I take that back. Not all. Some of us. Well, maybe few of us are capable of believing that. And how do we instill, how do we export that?
I don't think you can.
To other people.
I think every attempt at that has failed.
There's got to be a way. You know, I'm not willing to accept that.
Look at the so-called Arab Spring. You know, and they said, oh, Twitter and Facebook and all this communication that's going to enable these people to see what freedom's all about, and they're going to rise up. Oh, they rose up all right. But now it's nothing but militias and Islamists, because they're the guys that are usually the first willing to die for their cause.
Yeah.
And they're funded by the crazies like the Saudis and everybody else. And so, again, it's not a matter of, we don't want violence. We want to vote and have a civil society where we debate and we live with the results of the, you know, kind of a democratic parliamentary, outcome. It's whoever can shoot the other one first wins.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of weird, though, because then I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, but what about, and then I go, all I'm doing is reinforcing your point. And the point is, those people in Egypt, and I kind of take this as the cue here, they rose up, they brought in the Muslim Brotherhood, quickly found out that they weren't what they were asking for,
right.
And thank goodness they rose up again, and instead of having elections or doing elections, they backed the military because they figured, in this case, the military junta, dictatorship, there is the good king for all intents and purposes.
But still a strong man. Exactly,
yes.
And that's my point. Yeah. I mean, they saw that this Islamist-type government was probably going to be way worse than a more secular military dictatorship that they had under Mubarak.
Yeah, and at what point, I don't know, I would hope that the military would try to educate people, and maybe they are. I don't know. It seems like Egypt is kind of off the radar now with everything else that's happening. We're not really hearing everything that's going on in Egypt. And I know they're jailing these Muslim Brotherhood guys, or I think some of them are even being sentenced to death.
And Muslim Brotherhood apparently did win that election. So you had a majority of the Egyptian people.
Yes.
They kind of got what they deserved, if you will.
Yes, they bought a bad bill of goods from the Muslim Brotherhood. But thank goodness they rose up, backed the military, who didn't want them anyways. And now they've got the military, and all we can do is hope that the military, at least they're still pro-Western right now, which for us is a good thing. And hopefully they're pro-Israeli to a point, so that if they don't like the Muslim Brotherhood, they certainly don't like Hamas. So maybe there's some hope in that region yet for Egypt. And I'm kind of trying to – I'm looking, dude. I'm grasping at straws for a positive beam of light coming out of the Middle East. I really am. But I think you're right. I think it was a very unique thing here in the United States
we
had.
We were the grand experiment.
We are the grand experiment. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. And it's kind of heading toward Israel anyways.
Yeah, and our founding fathers, they could have seized absolute control and turned us into like everybody else very easily, but they chose not to do that.
That's right. See you on the other side.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Hi, this is Jennifer Coolidge. The American Heart Association says the disco song Stayin' Alive is the near-perfect beat for hands-only CPR. you see a teen or adult collapse from cardiac arrest, you only need two steps to help save a life. Call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest to the beat of the song Staying Alive. Disco is back and it's saving lives. To learn more, go to heart.org/handsonlyCPR.
Nationally supported by the WellPoint Foundation.
More American Indians live in poverty than any other racial or ethnic group. Since 1989, the American Indian College Fund has helped thousands of young men and women begin a path out of poverty as students at tribal colleges. As more American Indians see a college education as a way out of poverty, full-time college enrollment continues to rise, along with a continued need for support. Help a student, help a tribe. Learn more at tribalcollege.org. A public service message from the American Indian College Fund.
Imagine averaging 45 miles per gallon both city and highway. Now imagine that incredible fuel economy in a new luxury sedan with the same starting price as its gas-powered sibling. Well, make that vision a reality and visit Hines Park, Lincoln, and Plymouth to test drive the most fuel-efficient luxury hybrid, the 2014 Lincoln MKZ Hybrid. There's no other luxury car like it and no other luxury experience like visiting Hines Park, Lincoln. Hines Park, Lincoln is on Ann Arbor Road just west of I-275 in Plymouth and online at HinesParkLincoln.com.
Join us every Sunday morning for Wham! Weekend Worship. At 9 a.m., it's the Lutheran Hour Radio Show, followed at 9:30 by the Christian Science Sentinel Program. At 10, we join Bethlehem United Church of Christ. And finally, from 11 a.m. till noon, it's the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor. Every Sunday morning, Wham! Offers an opportunity for you to worship wherever you are. And please visit whamradio.com and click on any of the church programs to visit their websites and to find out more about their live services.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. And the Drift. On Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Thank you.
Good. Get a call from the boss man. Theron called in. And if you haven't caught his show between 3 and 6 here at Wham! Talk 1600, you should be doing so. Because we said so.
Wow. On the edge.
On the edge, yes. So we're talking, leaning toward the Middle East. So let's talk about the Arab-Israeli conflict, the Palestinians and the Israelis. Now, Hamas basically runs Palestine at this point. Would you agree?
The Gaza Strip.
The Gaza Strip, anyways. And they've been firing rockets. This is nothing new. They've been firing rockets.
Thousands.
It's been nonstop for months, years, whatever. They stop occasionally and then start up again.
It fascinates me how they're able to bring all of those rockets in, and where do they come from? They come from Hezbollah and
they're Iranian-backed, most
Iranian,
of
them. Iranian,
yep. Yeah, so they're coming in through Syria. Some of them are coming in through tunnels from Egypt as well.
Mm-hmm.
And why Egypt hasn't been able to stop that on their side, I don't know. Maybe there just hasn't been the willpower to do so at this point. You know, it's a very complicated situation there. Your enemy is not always your enemy, depending on the situation.
Sure.
You know, and I think there's probably no truer sense than Egypt and Israel, which have had a peace pact for years until this Muslim Brotherhood election fiasco. But the military is back in control in Egypt, and they seem to be living up to that agreement with Israel. And it's amazing the dynamics there. I mean, it's far beyond anything I'm capable of understanding. If I had a full-time job studying it, maybe. And we'll have to get somebody in. Maybe let's call Jimmy Carter. Isn't he the expert in the
Yeah. That brings back memories. You know, but that whole tunnel system really fascinates me, the logistics of it. I read a book called The Tunnels of Ku Chi, which was about the tunnel system in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they had underground hospitals, factories, you name it. They basically lived underground, and we built an air base right above part of this tunnel complex. They would come out of the ground and just cause total hell and havoc, you know, firing at our planes and stuff on the ground, and then disappear back underground before our troops could really react and determine where it came from. But these tunnels in Gaza that you know, go into Israel and into Egypt, I guess they drive, you know, there's
semi-trucks,
and there's car sales that, you know, the cars they import bring in. It's just a really interesting thing that can exist.
Yeah.
And sand.
When they take all the money that I mean, I'm sure a lot of that money is U.S. taxpayer dollars.
Oh, absolutely.
Giving to the Palestinian Authority, and it gets siphoned off and used, instead of building a hospital or whatever, they're digging tunnels mm-hmm. and causing mayhem and mischief with it.
And right now, the Israelis going in there, and any collateral damage, you know, to houses and everything else, that will all be rebuilt with American and EU money.
Yeah. Did you see
like that? It always has been.
On the Daily Drift, I've got there was a YouTube video of, it looks like a rocket being shot off from an apartment building. And again, it's a residential apartment building. And a minute later, an Israeli rocket.
So they have a 4th of July over there, too, that you can just kind
of celebrate
whatever you want.
They don't celebrate the way we do. But anyways, a minute later, the Israelis hit the building and knock it completely down. And whoever's taking the video, they're happy that the rocket goes off. You can hear them clapping,
mm-hmm.
allegedly, if it's a real video. And then all of a sudden they're horrified when the building gets blown up.
Well, you know what's interesting is the Israelis, if there's any civilians there, they have their phone number and everything, and they will
call them,
text or call them and say, hey, you know what, you've got like a few minutes or whatever it is, the time frame to get out. Now, who does that?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was explaining to this to somebody at work the other day. I said, who does that? Who gives that kind of warning? And how can you win a war when you're giving you're basically giving the enemy the heads up, hey, we're coming in? Because, you know, Theron had a good video on his Facebook page about there were some school kids and a master of Islam with them behind a guy with a giant mortar shell or a rocket, whatever it was. And the kids are standing right behind it when he launches it. And really, you're going to make them stay there after it's launched, knowing full well that there's probably an F-16 missile coming to that location immediately afterwards.
Sure. Human shields has always been part of their tactic because they're always going to win in the world media opinion when kids and women get killed. So Hamas, it's always part of their strategy to get so many women and children killed because then they can parade that around and say, look, we're the victims.
Yeah. You know, this is not a war. You know, this is a hostage situation. This is Hamas holding women and children, Palestinian women and children, hostage in their own hospitals, schools, and homes, shooting off rockets and waiting for return fire to come and kill them.
And yet those people will reelect those Hamas officials.
Well, the ones that are dead don't have any choice. I'm sure they wouldn't vote for them the second time around.
But no, but I bet Hamas probably has like a, you know, an 80% approval rating, even though they're using their own people as human shields. They'll always blame the Israelis first, no matter that they were held hostage and that they were killed because Hamas made it so.
Yeah. In the end, I'm sorry if I seem unsympathetic to the people that die in Palestine, because you know what? Frankly, if you're going to allow – if you come into my home and you're going to shoot a mortar out of my home, you might as well just kill me. Put a gun to my head and kill me, because I'm not going to make my kids sit there and watch you do this knowing full well that somebody else is going to retaliate against me. I'm going to fight you in that moment, even if it means my death, because you're going to kill me anyways. So the people in Palestine need to stand up and say, we're not going to take it anymore.
Well, that's what one would think. Yet, you know, they elected Hamas, I think, at least twice now, right? Yeah. I could be wrong part.
I think it goes back to what you were saying. You're exactly right. They go for the strong man, whoever it is, be it good or bad. They want someone to take control.
Well, in this case, the Islamists. I mean, they're always going to have a strong man, but instead of a more secular like Fatah, supposedly, they're going to, you know, elect the more Islamic Hamas. Also, you know, if a person is killed there, part of their collective mindset is, well, this is a martyr.
Yeah.
This is a great thing. They're celebrated with money and fame, and they, you know, they believe that that kid or person that blew themselves up or was blown up because they were a human shield is going to, you know, see Allah and all that jazz.
So it's a lack of experience to better things, maybe? Do you believe that's part of it? They're just culturally, they're so narrowly focused on that way of life that, you know, do they need to watch episodes of Happy Days to understand that there's more to life than dying with a suicide bomb? Why don't we park satellites over the Middle East and beam them reruns of American Western culture?
Yeah, I've always said that. Yeah.
And just blanket them so that they'll get it. You have to get it over a period of time. Eventually, you'll get it. There's a better way than dying like this.
I was watching a video about the tunnels, and they're digging these tunnels out, and they're under there, and it's almost like a coal mine type operation. You know, it's not the tunnel I saw was very narrow, and one of the tunnel diggers, he was kind of jokingly saying, comparing the Palestinians on the Gaza Strip to the Israelis, he says, it's like a Tom and Jerry cartoon. and he was serious, you know, and he says, well, he's smiling, but he's like serious at the same time, and says, let's see, Tom's the cat, right? Jerry's the mouse. And he says, you know, the Israelis are like Tom and we're like Jerry. And even though Tom thinks he's going to win, Jerry always thumps him.
Right. Yeah. Let's switch gears here. Tony wants to talk about the 11th Congressional District. Tony, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Is this Tony X from the Ukraine?
I'm very dismayed at this Dave Trapp coming into the race here and spending multi-millions of dollars. It's amazing. And where I live, I'm just getting these flyers. Almost every other day, I've gotten at least 8 or more flyers from him. And what bothers me about the whole thing is he's spending multi-millions of dollars to grab that that position. And he's backed by the Chambers of Commerce and the establishment. And I can't say what he would do, but those groups are definitely in favor of amnesty. So I'm assuming if they're backing him, that he might be going for that. I can't say that for sure. I want to be fair. But I think that Kerry Benevolio, he's a bit of a character, but I think he's a true citizen representative. I think he's a solid conservative. And I think he's doing a good job, and I'd like to see him stay in there. But sadly, it looks like money is going to buy this position. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'll agree with it, because you know what? I've seen one. I drive into Livonia every day from Whitmore Lake, so I pass through a big chunk of Kerry's district. And I've seen one Bentivoglio sign, just one little roadside sign up by Hines Park, and nothing else. So I'm going to say part of this is Kerry Bentivoglio is not working very hard. Unfortunately, I wish it wasn't so, but I think as a congressman, if you don't get your butt home and show your face around town and get your picture out and do whatever you need to do, Kerry could have come on this show. He could have come on any show on WHAM. He could have come on all these. They haven't come.
Right.
You know, if you are a congressional candidate and you're not going on the radio shows that are welcoming you, I've got no sympathy for you. I really don't.
You know, you're right about that. I must admit, because when he first went into office, he was sent out some flyers, and he was setting up these town meetings at various locations, and he had a portable meeting place that he would send to the various cities in the district. And that all was at the beginning of his of him being a legislature, and I haven't heard much about him lately, so. Although he's been on a couple of national radio shows recently, talking about the border problem and so forth. He went to the Central America to see what was going on. But I agree with you. I'm sad to say I hate to. I don't like Dave Trapp.
Yeah.
And
well,
on all his literature there, he always says conservative Dave Trapp. He thinks you protested too much.
Yeah.
keep calling yourself one.
Yeah, I tell you what, Tony, if he does get elected and he does kind of go with this amnesty route, at least we'll have some fodder fish to fry, I guess. Because you know what? Mr. Trott, if you're out there or one of your supporters want to call you, you best not be doing amnesty anything. Because if you get into it, we will fry you for the next 2 years. Absolutely. So,
amnesty's a fait accompli. It's already happened.
Yeah. I'm so peeved with this, I might not even vote for him in the general election, I hate to say, but
yeah.
I wouldn't vote for the other guy.
Well, don't go that far, Tony. You got to vote for the least
follow the money.
Evil. Yeah. All right, until next week, go to thedailydrift.com. Take care.
See ya.